there, your heart will be also. Please be seated. Everybody hear me okay in the back? We're good? I'll just project. There, your heart will be also. I want to talk to you tonight about your hearts in light of the lessons for Ash Wednesday that we've just heard. You've actually already responded to one of those lessons by being here. The prophet Joel calls for the sounding of a trumpet in Zion and the calling of a holy assembly of God's people. Well, that's what you are tonight. You are God's people and you are holy people. And you have assembled here as we begin this season of Lent. We come together on this night. Carnival, Mardi Gras is over. No more moon pies. No more beads. And yes, I know it is Valentine's Day. Yet, at least in my book, the church calendar trumps that secular one. But y'all can figure all that out yourselves. Lent has begun, and we enter into the season of reflection and contrition and forgiveness and preparation. It is a time, I think, of great importance for the people of God, maybe now more than ever, of great importance for you as disciples of Jesus. So I want to encourage you to enter this Lent with your hearts wide open, but our minds focused and our spirit searching and aching for that intimacy that God desires to have with each of us. And there is one barrier to that intimate relationship with God that we should talk about, and that barrier is our own sin. Yep, I said it, the S word, sin. Lent's a good time for us to actually talk about that. But always, I think, in the context of Jesus, of redemption, of God's covenant promises to us and God's unending love for us. We must never forget that. And I don't think anything helps us do that better than Psalm 51. And I encourage you to open your prayer book. I think it's page 267 for Psalm 51. We'll hear it read in a little while during the liturgy. But I'll invite you to turn to it now. There's a reason why we have this psalm every Ash Wednesday. I want these words, though, tonight to jump off of that page and into your minds and into your hearts to have real meaning for you and perhaps to guide all of us during Lent and in our ongoing relationship with God. Are you there? Everybody find it? Well, Psalm 51 has long been considered by the church to be King David's response to his terrible act, which was sin by any definition, when he calls the death of Bathsheba's husband, sending him to the front lines of war, knowing he would surely be killed, so that he could then take Bathsheba as his wife. At this point in the story, he has been confronted by his dear friend, the prophet Nathan, who calls him out on what he has done, and it breaks his heart. And there are certainly mortal consequences for David's actions. If you know the whole story, you know what I mean. But beyond this reap what you sow result, there is still this matter of David's relationship with God. How can that be mended after what he has done? How can he re-engage with the God who called him to be king, sent Samuel to anoint him as a shepherd boy? God who proclaimed David as a man after God's own heart. How can this despicable act be redeemed? Will David ever be able to approach God again? Have you ever felt that way? Well, listen to the psalmist. The psalmist begs for God to take redemptive action. Verses 1 and 2 say, "Have mercy, blot out my offenses, wash me through and through, cleanse me." Can you hear the desperation in that? David can only dare ask for such from God by proclaiming first, though, the true nature of God. He reminds God of God's own nature, that you are a God of love. Chesed, the Hebrew, means steadfast love in English. It's God's love that can never, ever, ever be taken away, cannot be diminished, and is all wrapped up in God's mercy. Have mercy on me according to your steadfast love, according to who you are, God, your nature. And then the writer David lays out in painfully honest terms the depths of his despair and the impact of this sin. And it is at the core level sin against God, and really all sin is that. While of course sin does impact us in other ways and affect people in our lives, we must remember that when we sin, it is always first against God, because sin is simply missing the mark, turning away from God, not being where God has called us to be, not doing as God has called us to live amongst others, not loving the way God has taught us to love. That sin is a universal part of our nature, all of us. And it is to God we must all eventually come. And the words of the author of this psalm are haunting and perhaps familiar to us. Again, acknowledging, David does, that God knows all, that his sin is against God, and that only God can redeem this. Only God can make us whole again, bring us back into a right and reconciled relationship with the Holy One. I love these words that David uses. Make me hear of joy and gladness. His life was without that. Hide your face from my sins. Don't look at them anymore. And then create in me a clean heart, O God. Start it over. Make it clean. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Nothing could be worse. Instead, sustain me. Give me joy. Give me your spirit. Cleanse me in such a way, David says, that I may again shout and sing praises to you. Can you feel the anguish and the hope? Can you sense the guilt and the desire to be remade? Remade by God? Redeemed and renewed and forgiven? That is the power of God in forgiveness and mercy. That's what Jesus came to do for us. And all of it is part of God's steadfast love that never ever fails and never disappoints. God keeps covenant. And David is reminding and asking him to just do that very thing as he asks for forgiveness, acknowledges his sin. Redemption and forgiveness with God, though, is not intended to just return us to some pre-sin state before we did whatever it was we did. The psalm makes it abundantly clear. When we confess, when we repent, when we come before God in honesty and in great desire to be cleansed and made whole, God does just that for us. And we are changed. We are not to be the same. We can proclaim God's love and grace with our lips, knowing that our hearts have been made clean. New hearts. Ready to practice that kind of steadfast love ourselves with all those we love, our neighbors and even our enemies, as Jesus reminded us. We, in that act, are reminded that God, and the scripture says this, remembers our sins no more. What a gift. So why do we dwell on them? We must leave these experiences different than we came there. You'll be reminded in just a minute that we are all dust, and we all do return to dust. In the meantime, though, in the in-between of that, I hope and pray you and I can take the words of this psalm to heart, cry out to God in our own weakness and in our own sin, and believe that if God can do that for David, God can certainly do that for us. But be ready for it. Prepare your heart to receive the promised forgiveness and love and redemption, and allow it to change you. That's where your heart will be. That's where your treasure will be. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew us by your Holy Spirit.